Good morning, everyone. How are we this morning? How many, when you walked in the building and didn't see Pastor Gary, you're like, oh man, why'd I come today? But no, Pastor Gary is not here today, so I will be delivering the word. I'm thankful to be doing that. Pastor Gary is in Honduras right now with a ministry school. He's helped teaching there, so he is actually doing God's work. He's not on vacation, not just having fun, but he is doing God's work. So I'm thankful to be able to help out and to bring the word today. And I really appreciate Rachel and Mackenzie today with their word, because it ties into the message. And again, that just speaks to the power of the Holy Spirit, because they have no idea what I was planning to speak today. They have no idea, but it lines exactly up. And that's not by coincidence. It really couldn't be. The odds would be so high that Vegas couldn't even guess what the odds were, right? Seriously. And that's the Holy Spirit. So I appreciate that word about, we know Jesus, but do we really know him? We know of him, but do we really know him? And I want to start today off with a little story about when I was in high school. And yes, I knew who he was at that time, but I didn't really know him. But so a little story about me in high school. I went to Pittsburgh Central Catholic High School over in Oakland. And I was big into football. That was my sport. I loved it. And Central Catholic was a big football school. And I played my freshman year on the freshman team. And then my sophomore year, I'd move up to the JV varsity team. And the JV varsity team my freshman year, they went to the Whitfield Championship and won. And then they went to the state championship and lost. So with that, there was a big chip on everyone's shoulder. And we knew that my sophomore year, that we had something to prove, that we needed to come out, be better, be stronger, and win that state championship. So I was in my sophomore year, and at Central, football was different. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't normal at the time. So football season, the actual season, is the fall, right? And then after that, it's winter, and we lifted every day. Every day in the winter season, we lifted for football that was only in the fall. Did the same thing in the spring, lifted every day. Well, then the summer, they'd give us like 2 weeks off after the end of school. And then in the summer, it was right back at it. 4 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. in the morning, we were training. We were doing physical training, weightlifting, endurance, running, all those things in that time, because we had something to prove. We wanted to come out and we wanted to be better. And so again, sophomore year, I didn't really know what to expect. They hired a training company. The company's name was PST. I don't remember what it stood for. I just knew it as PST. And before this message, I tried to Google them to see if I could get the name of it. And I couldn't find them online. And so I'm assuming that they're out of business, and not because they didn't know what they were doing, but I'm pretty sure that if they were still training people the way they trained us, they'd be in big trouble. That people would be coming after them. So that's my assumption as to why I couldn't find them online. But they were extremely tough. They were extremely tough trainers. There were certain exercises that they made us do that were tough. You know, we had to flip tires, a big truck tire. We had to grab it and flip it. We had to do corn huskers. You had to take a 45-pound barbell, hold it above your head with your hands up, and you had to lunge like this, the whole length of the football field with your arms up and just lunging. So you can just imagine how tough that would be. We'd have to get on all fours, and we'd have to bear crawl, right, doing this. Every 5 yards, we had to stop, and we had to do 7 push-ups, spelling out Central. Okay, and then we go another 5 yards, Central, another 5 yards, and we kept doing it. Well, then one day it was raining, and so they made us go into the basketball gym, and we were doing speed training. Well, then after the speed training was over, they wanted us to go to the weight room and to start doing some weight training. Well, basketball gym was here, weight room gym was here. There were 2 different buildings separated by the parking lot. They made us get on all fours, like how we did the bear crawl, and bear crawl across the parking lot on an asphalt parking lot in the middle of summer with cinders, dirt, probably glass, who knows, all this stuff. And we had to go over and to get to our weight training. So it was it was just really rough. It wasn't normal in my mind. And in the moment, I was like, this is terrible. I don't want to do it. Like, what is a good reason that I can give my mom that I can't go to practice today? Like, seriously, like, I need something. I don't want to go. And I wasn't the only one. There were a lot of people that felt that way, that this was just too hard. This was crazy. And to be honest, a lot of people quit. A lot of people quit the team because they felt that same way, that this was just too hard. They couldn't do it. They couldn't get through it. But that was in the moment. Now, even after that season, and even now that I think about it, man, was it worth it. Yes, it was tough, probably unethical in certain stances too, but man, was it worth it. I really appreciated it. So then in that season, let's fast forward to the end of it, where we're at the Whipple Championship game down at Heinz Field. We're playing Gateway High School. They're a tough opponent, and it was going to be a really good game. So we get down there, and we win the game. We go back to the locker room. We're celebrating, and the game, we had the PST trainers. They were on the sideline with us, you know, as our guest on our sideline. So they came into the locker room, and immediately as they walked through the door, we started chanting, PST, PST. And probably for most of us in the room, we were like, I never wanted to see those guys ever again. Like, are they going to make us get down and do push-ups now or something? Like, what are they going to do? Like, so no one wanted to see them, right? But we knew in that moment that it was because of them that we were bigger, faster, stronger, had way more endurance than all the teams that we were playing. And so we appreciated that, and we showed that to them at that point. So we knew that it was worth it, even though we didn't like it in that point in time. And again, fast forward to the end of the season, we did end up winning the state championship. We did hit that goal that we wanted, that high goal that we wanted to do what we set our minds to. All that hard work that we put out through all those months of training and everything like that, it came to fruition. We accomplished that high goal. Now, the point of this story is to not talk about football or not talk about, you know, physical training and things like that. But the point of this that story is that physical training is important. Physical training is important not only for, you know, you personally, but like for your endurance, but for strength training and everything along those lines. Like, it is something that we need to do. Now, my dream as being a football player naturally was to go to the NFL. But you can look at me and say, he wasn't going to the NFL, right? Not tall enough, not fast enough, not strong enough, right? My dream didn't come true. Let's put it that way. All of us probably had a dream that might be similar, whether it's another professional sport, you wanted to be an actor or an actress, whatever the case may be. We had that dream and it just didn't pan out. It wasn't in the cards, as we say, right? And so I had this dream and it didn't work out. So now my thought process is, I'm in college, I'm not playing sports. What's the point? Why should I work out? There's no need to, right? I don't have to compete or anymore. What's the point? There's no need for me to train, especially as hard as I was training before. There's no point. It wasn't worth it. There's no reason to do it. But when you have a high goal, when you have a goal that you're going after, it is important that we put in that hard work, that we do that hard thing that we need to do. So today, I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about physical training, but that is an analogy that I want to use when we're talking about spiritual fitness. So today's topic, we're going to be speaking about spiritual fitness. But before we get into that, I just want to just pray real quick. Dear Lord God, I thank you for this day, Lord God, and I thank you for your word, Lord God. Help your word come to life here today in each and every heart that is here in these seats, Lord God. I just ask that you would come be with us today, Lord God, and just speak to us what we need to hear in this message today. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. 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 So, like I said, spiritual fitness, and you're probably sitting in your seat and you're like, what is that? Is he going to make us stand up in our seats and we're going to do jumping jacks, yelling out, Jesus, Jesus? You know, like, maybe we should have did that during Tremble when we were yelling, Jesus, Jesus. What is he going to make us do? What is this about? So what is spiritual fitness? So let's take a look at the definition of fitness. And a fitness definition is a state of being fit. Listen, I'm not the smartest. I'm not ever going to claim to be very smart, but that doesn't tell me much. It doesn't tell me much at all. So I think we have to look at the word fit, you know, state of being fit. Let's look at fit, where the word fit in this context, it's talking about being suitable, being made ready or prepared, right? So spiritual fitness is the state of being made ready, being prepared spiritually. So that's what we're going to be talking today. How do we get ready? How do we prepare ourselves for this spiritual fitness that we need? Because we need endurance spiritually. We need strength spiritually, right? Just like we said physical fitness was key because we need strength and we need endurance, same is true for spiritually. We need that same spiritual fitness. So why do we need it? You know, we just talked about it. We need this spiritual fitness because we're going to be tested. We're tested every day with things that happen in life, whether it's someone, whether it's something, whether it's work, whether it's, relationships, whatever it is, we're going to be tested. And if we're not ready for it, if we're not prepared, if we're not equipped, our endurance, we're going to feel worn down. We're going to feel like just beat up, that we can't go on through, right? So let's take a look at James 1, chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, where it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So just starting out with that scripture, and wow, that's small. I apologize. I should have made that larger. I can read it, but you guys can't. But it starts out, and it's talking about that when trials come, not if. It's inevitable that we're going to have trials. But when our faith is tested, it produces this steadfastness, or it produces patience, okay? So because of our faith, because of those trials, we receive this patience. So in order for us to get patience, we need trial, right? Because how else are we going to produce patience if we don't have the trial in our life? Because the thing is, a lot of us, and I myself probably fall into this as well, is we pray and we said, "God, give me patience for whatever trial, whatever situation that we're in," right? And we say, "God, give me patience." But patience, it's not a cure. It's just a treatment. Like, you know, when you go to the doctor and let's say you have heartburn or something, and you tell them that you have heartburn, and they give you a treatment, maybe not a cure. It's going to come back, but here, treat it with this. That's exactly what patience is. Patience, it's not going to cure the fact that we have trials. Like, when we get patience, it's not just going to take trials away. We just now have a treatment that when we're in those trials, that we have something that we can hold on to, that we can exercise, and know that we can get through those trials. Amen? But it says to count it all joy. That's how it starts out. Count it all joy that there's these trials that are going to happen. Who here is going to raise their hand and say, "Yes, I'm excited that I have trials"? Is there anyone? I don't think so. I don't want trials. I don't like them. But have joy in it. Because again, patience is something that we're given. It's a gift, right? It's a gift that we're given. I like getting a gift. I'm excited about a gift, so I'm thankful. And I want to use that gift, right? So when I'm given patience, when I'm asking for patience, I want to be able to give it. So I like the trials. So can we agree today that even though we don't like the trials, that we can have joy in them? Amen? Amen. So spiritual fitness, we know what it means. We know why we need it. But how do we get spiritually fit? Well, when you need to know how to do something in life, what do? YouTube. Right? YouTube. I need to know how to fix my car, I run to YouTube. I need to figure out a project that Leanne assigns to me at the house, I don't know how to do it, I find it on YouTube, right? If I don't know the answer, I go to Google, right? We use YouTube, so we should probably be able to go to YouTube for this, right? How do we get spiritually fit? YouTube, show me. It's not going to happen. YouTube doesn't have that answer. We know that the only answer on how we become spiritually fit, how we become spiritually prepared, is through the Word and through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? So, we are going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And again, I apologize that it's small. But it says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So just to give a little context on the prior verses before this, Paul is speaking about people that are going to lose their faith because of some evil teachings, and they're just going to abandon it because of some deceiving spirits that are going to come against them. But also in the prior verses, he's talking and asking us to point it out to those people, to point it out to our brothers and sisters. Well, for me, in order for me to point something out that you're, you know, being caught up in or that you're doing wrong, I need to know about it. I need to know, right? So we ourselves need to be trained. We can't do that without us spiritually training ourselves. Amen? So in verse 8, it says that physical training is of some value. Just some value. In other versions of the Bible, it says that it's good. Physical training is good. Just good. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and you're looking at the menu and you know, you're going through it? Cheesecake Factory is probably the best example because the menu's so big. But you're going through and there's like a couple things on the menu that you like, right? And you don't know which one to pick. So the server comes over and you say to them, "Hey, how is the chicken parmesan?" And they say, "It's good." Okay? And you're like, "Good." Then you didn't really help me out with that question, you know? You just said, "Good." It's kind of middle of the bar. It's not like up here. It's like right here, you know? There's something better. So then you're like, "Oh, well, I had another choice." "Well, what about the lasagna? How's the lasagna?" And they go, "Oh, I love the lasagna. It's the best. It's fantastic." Have you ever had that happen? You've had that happen where you go and you ask that question so that you know that there's something better, that good, that just that middle, there's something more. So in this scripture, it's saying, yes, physical training is good. We need to do it. We should be doing it. But spiritual training is even better. It far exceeds the benefit of a physical training. Spiritual training is even better. So again, physical training is good. Godliness is even better. That's what we're talking about with physical fitness or spiritual fitness. We're talking about the godliness being better. And godliness is defined as being spiritually pure or virtuous, uncontaminated, right? We get contaminated all day long with the things that happen around us, all, just the things that we hear, the things that we see. All this stuff wants to try to contaminate us. If we are not being spiritually fit, we're going to get contaminated. We're not going to be spiritually pure. We're not going to have that godliness that we desire, that God wants for us. So again, just the importance of making sure that we have this spiritual fitness. And at the end of it, it says that there's a promise. With us doing this, with us training ourselves spiritually, there is that promise in this life, but also the life to come. Amen? As we dive in and we train ourselves spiritually. So again, how do we train? How do we do this? Well, starting with spiritual fitness requires the proper spiritual nourishment. You know, our physical bodies need certain things to operate properly. You know, we need to get certain food. We need that daily value, if you will, of certain things for us to operate properly. Nowadays, there's so many things health-wise, whether it's about food and nutrition or whether it's about physical training. There's just all this stuff. So right now, physical nourishment of what we're ingesting into our body physically, it's so easy. But so is it spiritually. We have podcasts. We have online Bible. We have people that'll read the Bible to us. We don't even have to read it, right? So we can get spiritual nourishment so easy nowadays. But again, just as much as we need that physical nourishment, we need spiritual nourishment. And we see that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where it says, "Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Physically, we cannot live on bread alone. It can't just be that bread. There's something else that we need. There's something better that we need. And then so it goes on to say that spiritual nourishment is even better. Or sorry, not spiritual nourishment, but that the words of God, the spiritual words that he speaks to us, we need that spiritual nourishment. Because again, even though we're physical beings, we're also spiritual beings at the same time. So we need to make sure that we're feeding ourselves that spiritual nourishment that's coming from God. Again, just like vitamins that we need, the different benefits that a vitamin has. There are spiritual benefits for us having a daily devotion in the Bible, because that's what we're talking about with getting fed. We're talking about our daily devotion in the Bible. We're talking about, just allowing people to speak into our lives about Jesus and who God is. That is what spiritual nourishment is. And the benefits that come from it, when we're down, we get lifted up. When we're lost, we find our way. When we're fearful, it'll give us courage. When we're weak, it'll give us strength. And when you're hurting, it'll give you healing. So when we're in the Word, when we're taking that time and we're reading and understanding about who God is and what he wants to do for us, not what he can do, but what he wants to do for us, it gives us these things. When we have these trials, when we have these battles in our life, but we're staying spiritually nourished, we know that we're going to get through that. We know that there's things that aren't even going to faze us, because we're doing what he's called us to do. Amen. So spiritual nourishment is that first piece of becoming spiritually fit. The second piece of that is spiritual fitness requires spiritual exercise. Raise your hand if you know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is. Okay? So a lot of people know who he is. You might know him for a lot of different things, right? You might know him as, I think he was the governor of California, right? He's an actor, he's on TV. But most importantly, he was a bodybuilder. And if you didn't know this, he was a 7-time Mr. Olympia champion, which Mr. Olympia in bodybuilding is like the highest stage. So a 7-time champion, and I believe at least like 4 of those were like 4 years in a row. He was competing at the highest level. And we know how big he was. Like, his arms were huge. He trained constantly. He had muscles on top of muscles. Like, it just, he was a big guy, right? Well, here's the craziest thing. Did you know that he never lifted a weight to get that big? No one believes me, right? Because it's not true. It's not true. He could not get that physically big without lifting the weights. He couldn't just stare at it and think, oh, man, I'm going to grow biceps that are like 42 inches. Or so. It couldn't happen, right? He had to do it. He had to put the work in, right? Just like us spiritually. We have the Bible, but are we opening it up? Are we getting into it, right? Are we doing that? Because we need to put the work in. Because here's the thing. Just as we have physical muscles, we have spiritual muscles that need work. We have spiritual muscles that need to be worked. Our spiritual muscles are our faith. Our faith is our complete trust and confidence in knowing what we have heard about our God, right? Knowing everything that we've heard about him, we have this 100% confidence and trust in him. And that's our faith. That is our spiritual muscle, okay? And we need to grow our muscles, right? Because let's face it, some of us, we know that our faith isn't where it should be. I include myself in that. My faith is not where it needs to be. I need to grow my spiritual muscle. And, we have to believe without seeing. He's not here for us to physically see. We have to believe without seeing. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, where it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So, in order for us to have this faith that we have hope and assurance in the things that we don't see, we need to make sure that not only are we getting that spiritual nourishment, but also that it's paired with this regular exercise of exercising our faith muscles, right? Because the things that we have hope for, the fact that we talked about today, what Jesus Christ did for us, that we have eternal life because he died on the cross for us, that's faith. That's believing with what we can't see, right? Or what about the hope that he's going to see us through our trials, those hard times in our life that we are like, God, intervene, intervene. He's going to be there. He's going to see us through it. That's faith, right? We have hope that God hears our prayers. It's all faith. It's all things that we don't physically see, but we believe it because that's what the word says. We're exercising our faith muscles. We're putting our complete trust in him. A question that we have to ask, is he leading our life? Is the Spirit leading our decisions? The things that we do in life, is it Spirit-led or are we doing it fleshly? Because sometimes that happens. When we lose our faith, when we have a lack of faith, we want to grab the reins and we want to take over. But are we allowing him to grow us spiritually, grow our spiritual muscles? In order for muscle growth to happen, you need resistance, okay? So in weightlifting, you need that resistance of the weight, the band, however you're going to work out. You need resistance so that your muscle physically can be torn down, that it can be damaged. Because then what happens after that is your muscle is then built. It's fused together. The muscle fibers are fused together, and then that's what creates mass. That's what creates, you know, your a bigger muscle, right? Spiritually, it's the same thing. Our faith muscles need to be worked to that point where we can feel that resistance to, yes, maybe it is going to tear us down. Maybe we're going to get that soreness. You know how like when you work out and we get that soreness, right? We need that. And yes, it might hurt, right? It really might hurt to work our spiritual muscles. There is a thing called rejection. There is a thing called failure, but not when it comes to spiritual exercise. There is no such thing as failure and rejection. If God calls me to speak to someone, to give them an encouraging word, or maybe it's a word that I hear that I need to speak to them through God, right? Or from God through me to them. And I do it, and maybe they and they walk away. Hey, I did what he asked me to do. He'll take care of the rest. I did what I had to do. That's success. That's not failure. The result of that is not failure. It is success. But again, we don't like resistance. So we have maybe that lack of faith. We're maybe, again, afraid to allow ourselves to be torn down spiritually. But here's the thing. Your body gets built back up when you're physically training. It becomes stronger. You know, you can do things more. You can have that one more rep or that next set because you're being built up. That's God's promise to us spiritually. As we allow him to put resistance on our spiritual muscles and we allow him to work our faith, he's going to build us back even better. I can't believe I just used that phrase. But anyways, it's going to happen. We're going to be stronger, right? We're going to be stronger from that. So again, we're talking about physical fitness, and we're talking about spiritual fitness. We're talking about muscle growth, both physically and spiritually. And they're hand in hand, just as important as anything else, spiritually even more. We need to feed our body the right stuff. We already talked about that. If I'm physically training in a gym, or if I'm physically training outside on a field or on a court or whatever, and then I go home and I feed myself McDonald's, and then I have a donut for dessert, and then I wash it all down with a Pepsi, am I going to reach the goal that I want? Am I going to reach the goal that I set myself out for? Not a chance. It's not going to happen. So again, that spiritual nourishment that we need, the things that we're bringing, we need that in order for our faith to be grown, in order for our faith to have that resistance upon it so that we can then exercise it, so that God can then increase our muscles. You tracking me? Good. Now, the last piece of spiritual fitness. Spiritual fitness requires spiritual renewal. We're going to be talking about rest, relaxation, those kinds of things. It's essential. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." then you will also be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We have battles every day. We have things that are going to come against us every day, right? But it's how do we respond to it? How do we handle that situation? We have to make sure that our mind is renewed. And to be renewed, it means to be made new again, right? So we, every day, multiple times a day, we probably need to renew our mind so that we're not conforming to the things around us, the things that we're hearing, the things that the devil wants us to ingest, as opposed to the things that we should be ingesting through the Bible or through words that we're hearing from whatever, spiritual leaders or things of that nature, right? So we're going to get beat up. We're going to get worn down if we're not doing those things. If we're not renewing our mind, we're going to feel beat up. Now, have you ever heard someone say that when you drive a brand new car off the car lot, that it loses like $10,000 in value as soon as you leave the parking lot? Have you ever heard that? Well, why is it? Well, because at that point, as soon as you leave that parking lot, that car that was once brand new is now considered used. It's considered used, so it loses its value. It's not valued the same that it was. Again, for us, we sometimes feel used. We feel like we have scars and we have dents in our own life. There's just things that are happening. We feel like our value is diminishing, that it's going down because of that. It's not true. So we can't live in that. We can't live in that feeling. We can't live in that place. We have to renew our minds. We have to make sure that we're doing that so that we are staying on the right path, so that we are staying on the mission that God has called for us. So how do we do that? How do we renew ourselves? And again, I talked about physical muscles, okay? If I'm working out in the gym 7 days a week, 2 or 3 times a week, I'm constantly going to be working my muscles. I'm constantly going to be tearing them down. That's harmful. It's not good. I'm not going to become that much stronger because I've been in the gym that many more times doing that many more reps. It's harmful to my body. At some point, my body's going to shut down. I'm going to get injured. Something's going to happen to the point where I can't move, right? So in order for my muscles to grow, it needs to make sure that it has that same rest, that it has relaxation, that it can be renewed, that it can be built back up. So again, that's what we need. We need renewal in our own spiritual lives. So whether that is, a prayer time that you take by yourself, that you go off into a room by yourself, shut the door, and you just spend time renewing your mind, having that prayer time. Maybe it's just quiet time. Maybe you're not even praying, but you just want to hear God's voice. You just want to hear what he's speaking to you at that point. Or maybe it's even you want to go outside and, shoot basketball or something like that by yourself just to release energy or things like that. Or maybe you go in the garden and you work in the garden and that's your release. That's your rest and your relaxation. But this all ties into the Sabbath that God instituted for us, right? We know the story of creation where he himself took time on the seventh day for rest, to take away from the work that he was doing. So he instructs us to do that same thing. And so what is the point of the Sabbath? It's to get our focus on him, that we're spending our time renewing ourselves focused on him. Because back before refrigerators and like grocery stores, where you could go shopping like 4 or 5 times a week and then you could just bring the stuff back and it just sits in your refrigerator, they didn't have that. So each and every day, they had to go get fresh, new stuff to eat, right? And they couldn't put it into a refrigerator. It would go bad if they brought too much back, right? So they could only go and get each day's ration. So for them, for there to be a Sabbath, it was hard because then there was one day where they couldn't do anything. And so where are they going to get their rations for that day? They had to have faith. They had to understand that God was going to provide, right? They had to understand that. And so it is difficult, but we need the Sabbath. We need the Sabbath because it puts our focus on God. Also, how many of us get so caught up in work when we don't have days off or we feel like we're constantly working? We need that, or that work, or whatever that is. It's going to become an idol in our life. It's going to become something that we identify as, that we're going to say, this is me. I'm my job. But that's not true either, right? So we need this time away. And again, physically, we need a break. Our body, God created our body. He did not create it to work constantly, right? So we need rest and relaxation. Who wants to say amen to that? Amen to that, right? So we need that. So the things that you feel, that rest and relaxation, and even relationships, connection groups, that might be relaxing to you because you're spending it with other people. You're getting that relation that you want or that you desire, right? You're getting that rest that maybe you just take a walk and you're getting that rest that you need, right? It's you focusing on that time with you and the Lord. So we talked about spiritual nourishment. We've talked about spiritual exercise, you know, stretching our muscles and having that resistance on our spiritual muscles. But then we've also talked about renewal, okay? All of them work together. If you haven't caught that yet, all of them work together. We can't do two of the three things. We have to do all three to hit that high goal that we wanted. Just like when I shared the example of my football experience, we had to do all those things. We couldn't just weight train and not do the conditioning, or else we wouldn't have had the endurance. We wouldn't have lasted all four quarters like we did. We would maybe do three strong and then take the fourth quarter off, right? So we had to do everything. We had to do it all. So what's the result of that? You know, there's a term called a powerhouse, right? And, you know, a powerhouse, when you think about it, it's someone that can't be stopped, someone that can't be contained. And a couple examples that'll go up on the screen for you. One we might know, the other one not so much. But that first one, if you're looking at the screen on the left, that's James Harrison. James Harrison played for the Steelers, super big into fitness, always training and honestly doing some pretty crazy workouts. But you can't see it in the picture, but the quarterback is on the ground and James Harrison is standing up. So looking at the picture, we don't know if James Harrison hit him or if he just fell down because he was scared of him, right? But it's because James Harrison is a powerhouse. People knew not to mess with him. The one up in the corner is Aaron Donald. He plays for the Rams, actually a Pitt guy. Came from Pittsburgh. And our beloved Tom Brady, he's taken down, right? He's throwing Tom Brady down like he's weightless, just putting him to the ground. Why? Because he trained. He put the time in. He put the work in. He did what he needed to do. He fed himself right. He trained himself right so that he could be that powerhouse. Someone that people fear. When they go against those guys or other people in professional sports that are considered a powerhouse, they put a game plan just specifically for that person. How are we going to stop that person? We don't care about the other 10 people. We're worried about that one person, right? They'll handle the other 10. They just got to worry about that one because they're powerhouses, because no one wants to mess with them. They can't be contained. They're going to do what they want on the field. But again, they needed to eat right. They needed to do what they could so that they could reach that full potential. I'm here to tell you this now, and I'm sure that this is no surprise to you. God is calling you to be a spiritual powerhouse. God wants you to have that spiritual nourishment, to be tested in faith. He wants you to be rested and renewed daily. He wants that for you. He wants you to be this powerhouse. Again, not in a physical sense, but in this spiritual sense. Wouldn't it be cool that someone comes up to you and says, you can't be contained? The Holy Spirit is so alive in you that you can't be contained. That tragedy that happened in your life, you're not even fazed by it because you know what God says. You know that God's going to see you through it. They're going to come to you and they're going to say that you're a powerhouse because of that. When you share your faith, when you when you share your faith to someone that doesn't know Jesus, and you're able to communicate in a way that's so loving and shows compassion to them and truly shows them who Jesus is to you and what he means to you, you're going to be a powerhouse. The Spirit is just going to overflow. It's going to come in and it's just going to come out because you're a powerhouse. That's what God wants for you. In order to make sure that we become that powerhouse, like I said, we need to make sure that we have that spiritual nourishment, that we're in the Word, that physical fitness, that it requires spiritual exercise, right? Allowing our faith to be tested, allowing ourselves to be stretched by God, and then also that renewal so that we can have that rest, that we can take that Sabbath and focus on Him and allow Him to build us up in that time of rest. You know, the gym that I go to is actually called Powerhouse Gym. So I don't know if that was the inspiration for the message or what. But that's the gym that I go to. And it's called that because the people that go there, they want to be a powerhouse physically. They're serious about it. They work out hard. They train hard. They do what they need to do in order to become that powerhouse. They have a high goal. They've set the bar high as to what they wanted to be. So the questions that we need to answer, one is, do we want to be a powerhouse? It's a lot. It's hard work. We talked about it. When we set a goal, a high goal like that, it's hard work. So do we want it? Do we have the desire? We partake in communion today. That should be our desire for why we want to be a powerhouse, right? Do we want to be Spirit-led? Do we want to walk in faith? That's the question that we need to answer individually. And listen, there might be some spiritual powerhouses here right now. I know that we have some already, right? But we can always get stronger. We can always continue. So whether you feel like you're a spiritual powerhouse or you feel like you're not, it can happen. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take work. But it can happen because that's what God's called you to do. That's what God has called you for. But then taking a look at it at a bigger perspective, God's calling us as Bridge City Church, the Brighton Heights campus, as well as the church as a whole, to be a powerhouse. Our mission statement, it played before I got up here, and it said, "We exist so that as many people as possible will begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus." That's our mission statement. To me, that speaks to the desire that we have to become a powerhouse. But again, we're a church built up of a body that includes each and every one of you. So for Bridge City Church to be a powerhouse, we need all of you to be a powerhouse. I want to be a powerhouse. Do you want to be a powerhouse? Again, just like I talked about with that illustration of my time playing football. In the moment, it was hard. It was tough. I wanted to quit. I didn't want to do it. But again, the result was so worth it. It was so worth it. And when you start to walk in a different faith and when you're being spiritually nourished and you're taking that time to renew, you're going to say, this was worth it. Yes, it was hard to wake up at 5:00 in the morning so that I had time to actually get into the Word. Yes, it was hard to pray for that person at work that I didn't want to. But man, was it worth it? Was it worth it? Because again, we receive things from God when we do this. We talked about patience. We talked about hope. We talked about joy. All these things that He wants to give us, He does. He showers us with it. He showers us with these things when we're doing those things. You know, when a coach wins the Super Bowl or a big sporting event, they take the Gatorade bucket and they dump it on them. That's what He wants to do with those gifts. He wants to give us a Gatorade bat of these gifts that He has spiritually. When we put the time in, when we train ourselves spiritually, that's what's going to happen. But hey, we want to know Jesus in a new way, as was shared earlier today. We might know of Him, but we want to know Him more, and that's what's going to help us get there. But maybe you're at that starting point where you're not really even sure that you know the name of Jesus. Or maybe you know the name of Jesus, but you've fallen away and you really haven't been following Him as closely as you'd like. Well, here's the day today that we can be renewed, that we can be renewed and we can make that commitment to Jesus here today, saying that you are the forgiver of my sins, that you are the leader of my life, that I want this spiritual fitness. If that's you here today, I just ask you to boldly raise your hand. We want to be able to pray with you here today so that you can know and truly understand who Jesus Christ is for you, who he is. So I thank you for that. But before I come to a close, I just want to pray. Dear Lord God, I thank you for today, Lord God. I thank you that we have each and every person in here today, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that you would put the desire in each and every person here, that they would want to be spiritually nourished even greater than they already are, Lord God, that they would want you to test their faith, that they would want to be exercised, that they would allow you to put resistance upon them, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that they would allow you to renew them, that they would be able to take the time, Lord God, to be with you, Lord. So Lord, help us become spiritually fit, to become more spiritually fit, Lord God, so that we can continue the message and the purpose that you have for our life, Lord God. So Lord, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on up, Sam.